Well, our speaker this morning is a young man. He's been with the Gideons just a couple of years. He said 50, a little over 50 years he's been with the Gideons. So without further ado, Clifford is going to come and share with us, please.
Well, there's a smiling face. I love it. Smile. Everybody got a smile on here? I want you to know that's your greatest asset, is your smile. You can wear a shabby clothes. You can wear really fancy clothes like kings or queens. But without that smile, you're really nothing. It's really fantastic. Well, like Pastor said, I've been around a while with working with the Gideons in Goodhue County. One of the things that we have found on occasion where we've been doing school distributions, giving out testaments to young folks at the high schools. And there was one indication where we had a student principal come out and collect the students' testaments and bring them back to us and invite us. And we're on public property, which is legal. We can't be on school property, but we can be on public property. Another instance where we were passing out testaments and the sheriff's department come up, deputy, and inquired us to leave. And we met with them later and shared the law because evidently he wasn't totally familiar with it. Being on the sidewalk, public sidewalk, is legal to do. And then we met with the sheriff, and the sheriff then talked to his deputies, and we worked it out. But these are the things that are happening because of basically ignorance. And maybe not the love for the Lord. Now, I don't know, there's none of you around here that was around in 37, is there? I don't think so. But in 1937, in many states in the United States, it was the law that the Bible be read every morning before class. Ain't happening today. Why? Because we, as Christians, have become lax. We want to be nice folks instead of standing up for our rights to share the gospel. Now, what the Gideons did then, because some of the schools, back then, we've got to remember, we're coming out of a depression. There wasn't a lot of money around. Do you folks know what a depression is? Do you guys know that? It's good to say, yes, you know. When I'm speaking, I love participation, and I know you're listening. So don't be afraid to speak up. So anyway, a lot of schools did not have money for Bibles. So the Gideons got together, and we started putting Bibles in, they got them in every classroom in the United States. I wonder where they are today. Be interesting to know. Sort of like the COVID situation. We had Bibles in all the hotels and motels, just about everyone in the country. COVID come along and out went the scripture, along with other things. Now we're working really hard to get back into these hotels and motels with Bibles. But guess what? We aren't so sure we want them anymore. So we have some that are accepting them and some that are not. And why is that again? Because when we go stay in a motel or a hotel and we don't find a Bible in the room, do we go down as Christians and say, could we please have a Bible for our room? From the office clerk. That's something you want to remember to do. Let's start peacefully pushing back against the devil, that we ourselves can start contributing to folks' salvation. Now, if you go in anywhere in the United States and you talk about the Gideons, that's the first thing they come up with. Oh, they're the folks who put the Bibles in the hotels and the motels. Well, if you go overseas in other countries, it's testaments for the students. in high school or college. In fact, 70% or over 70% of all the scriptures that go out in foreign countries go to students in high schools and colleges. Sagar was a 15-year-old boy at the time, and he came from a Hindu family, very devout Hindus, and he joined the Revolutionary Party in his country. He's in secondary school, which would be high school to us. And he gets to be class president, so he's a very intelligent young man. And he learned what salvation was. It was the strongest guy on the block and the toughest guy around. That's where you get your salvation. Wow. He went to college in Nepal, in the capital city of Nepal. And while he was there, the last year of his college education, he was sent to a high school, secondary school, to teach eighth grade. Okay, so now he's teaching this eighth grade, and who should show up? Where's my pin? It's on me someplace here. The Gideons. The Gideons showed up to pass out scripture. So what does he do? He stands back, and they come through and pass out scripture to the students. And one young Christian lady took one testament and gave it to him. Gideons didn't do it. He didn't take it from the Gideons, but he took it from a student. Wow. So he reads it. Does anybody know what's in the first chapter of Matthew? The very beginning of this Matthew. Anybody know that?
Genealogy.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
The genealogy.
The genealogy. Very good. Something to remember. It's the driest reading I think I ever did in Scripture. But I heard a good sermon on it one time. The pastor went right through the genealogy and who it was, why it was, and so on and so forth. That'd be very interesting. But to read it is pretty dry. So Sagar took the Bible, the scriptures, opened it up, first front page, right? That's how you normally start a book, very first page. Genealogy. Oof to my. Wasn't good. And he got bored the first week. But he read a little bit more, and then he started having a few questions. So there happened to be an evangelical church close by the campus. So he went over there on a Sunday morning and was going to find out what's going on with the scripture, talk to the leaders in the church. But he was an intelligent individual, and he put himself forward. He was a member of a political group. I mean, he was good. In fact, he got to be president in his college for the Revolutionary Students Movement. So there you go. He was very outgoing in the middle. So he come up and he's talking to these people in the church, likely the pastor and other leaders of the church, about this scripture, explaining it to them. And they said, well, they got all done in basic bottom line. Christ, Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. The only way. Being tough. That's what's going to give us salvation. And they've argued and argued and debated with the leaders in the church. Who won? Anybody know? Jesus. Jesus won out. So he started reading the scriptures, understanding a little more what was going on, asking help. And he finally realized that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior. Well, that sounds like a great deal. Happy ending. The ending gets happier. four years after he had graduated, he joined Gideon's and became a representative in the Nepal area, in that country, in the capital. One other thing that kind of joyed his heart is 1 year later, anybody guess who he married?
The young lady?
The young woman that gave him a testament. Now, you young ladies, when you come to that age, carry a couple of testaments. Some of them young fellows need a little push. And if you want somebody that's going to push for really good for you, it's Jesus. You know, I question a little bit, and forgive me if I speak now. I think you young children are old enough to understand. Does everyone know where the Ukraine is? You know, it's a far eastern part of Europe, basically. Right along Russia. Mid of the continent there. It's a very corrupt government in that country. And do you know what it's known for, that country? Anybody? It's a wealthy, probably the wealthiest country in the world, maybe. Even more the United States. It has very, very little amount of minerals that are very precious. It's a breadbasket, or was the breadbasket, for a lot of countries in Africa, as well as Russia itself. Very important country. But you know how they screwed up in my mind, and this is my perspective only. Make that perfectly clear. Oleg was our representative over there, and Anthony was a worker in the Gideons. And they met one day in 2019. And Anthony was explaining to Oleg, in the eastern part of the Ukraine, the far eastern part of the Ukraine, it's against the law now, it's as of 2018, to have people go to church or share with Christ. The Gideons got literally shut down, had to go underground. You couldn't go up and talk to anybody you wanted to about Jesus, sharing the scripture, opening the Bible and telling them what's going on. You had to be very, very careful under the threat of punishment by the government. Now, I don't know, maybe when I get to heaven, but I suspect God got tired of it. Because what happened 2 years later, anybody know? Anybody remember what happened 2 years later? The war. Now they're in a big pile of crap. It's not good. It's not good. So the Gideons go underground, and many of the churches are still supporting the Gideons, even though they meet on the sly. They're actually donating, and they don't have a lot of money. Their economy, you know, when the news media compares economies, like the United States economy, we're based on a situation where everybody gets a part of, depending on how hard they want to work for it. That's kind of changing now, and I hope it goes back to working for it rather than being given to. Well, anyway, when you get over in those countries where their communism is prevalent, the people on the top, they're the ones that get. Here's this wealthiest country in probably the world, and the people are living in basic poverty. They don't get the rewards for their actions, what they do. They're hardworking people, but they don't get the benefit of their hard work. So now they've got this problem. We've got a war started on. Okay? Because they had prayed, the Gideons had prayed, you know, this, open up this government again so we can pass out the scriptures, so we can share the word of God with people. And what did God do? He blew the doors off. With this war, there are people going hither and yon all the place. There was 4 million people went to other countries in the world. And they were there by May of 2022. 6 million people went to the outskirts of this country to get away from the war. Gideons were helping these people as best they could, but they were suffering too. These people are moving. What do they got? You got shells bursting around you? What do you got? How would you like someone come marching into town with a few tanks and 500 soldiers and start blasting? What are you going to do? What would you do?
Probably take my family and run.
Pick up and run. Who wouldn't? Well, an interesting thing. Does anybody know a fireman? Correct me if I'm wrong, because I've never been wrong yet. If you talk to a fireman, he's going to tell you, if your house is on fire, you've got less than 2 minutes to leave, or you probably won't be leaving at all. Now, like you said, I'm going to leave when them shells start bursting around me, right? Yeah, they did. By the hundreds of thousands, they're moving. June of 2022, they were passing out scriptures. They had 100,000 scriptures available to the Gideons to give to these people that are moving. But then we had 300,000 scriptures available in a central storage there that they took out and got out to the people. But they were really addressing basically people that were crossing the border. Gideon tried helping these folks the best he could, helping with the personal things. Now I'm going to talk to you, this group over here that's pretty silent. Shells are bursting around you, bullets are flying over your head, you got to leave. What are you going to take? Speak up, because I'm hard of hearing here. One more time, louder.
Everything that's essential that you need that you can carry.
Okay. Well, if you talk to the older folks here, they're going to take you kids first. Just... First and foremost, grab the kids. And then, if you got time, take the elderly with you. If you have time, less than 2 minutes. So now you go hundreds of miles across a country like the Ukraine with the armies pushing you forward. You took your kids, the elderly, maybe you grabbed a sandwich, I don't know. But there's a good question. What am I going to eat? Now, I know you guys sitting in the back, you'd make good Lutherans, because Lutherans never sit in the front. How many meals do you eat a day, or do you ever stop? Come on. I had a daughter. You can believe this. My youngest daughter had two daughters and two sons. The sons were older, the daughters were younger. Very athletic girl. And I had two teenage boys. You talk about hollow leg. They had hollow legs, hollow stomachs, hollow heads. They ate and ate and ate and ate and ate. And she was right with them, believe it or not. And she was a very nice, shapely-looking young lady. But she's very, very athletic. Very, very athletic. And she ate a ton. Now you're walking across this country. The Gideons are helping out. Let's say you had half an hour to prepare to leave. What would you take? You don't, but what would you take in a half an hour?
Extra shoes, clothing, money.
Okay. I mean, that's a good idea. But you know what these people ended up bringing along and needing? What about a toothbrush, toothpaste, toilet tissue? Remember a few years ago, you couldn't find it anywhere. And people were upset and angry about it. Toilet tissue? We had a taste, and it's coming back, I'm afraid. Someday in this country it will be back. I have a son who buys wholesale groceries for a company. And he's up to about 80% of availability now. Figures it may be going back down again. Who knows? I took advantage of it. I got more coffee than I'll drink in two lifetimes. He told me years ago. He says, Dad, Juan Valdez is going to slow down. His coffee's going up. So you know these small cans of coffee? I paid less than $4 for them. Still got a couple. That's been a long time ago. So I planned ahead, but I had an inside track. Insider trading, I think they call that. So the Gideons were supplying all these needs for these people, as well as scriptures. Now they had a few scriptures. With that 300,000, they were doing a little better. How many have had strangers in their house overnight? Anybody? I had they're passed on. Nygaards was their name. Lived off of 52. Anybody know Wagner Hill, I'm sure. They go down just the top of Wagner Hill. They lived off to the east. Had a farm there. People would get stalled on the road and in the winters and so on, or maybe have car trouble, and they'd hike up to the farmhouse. And the Nygaards would put them up for the night, maybe a couple, three nights, depending on the situation, and when they shared the gospel. Let's be honest. Christ told us to help out. He told us to take along these Baha'i people on the highway and the byway. He gave us an example of it. And maybe including me. So I'm not going to be blaming you. How many of us would dare take in a stranger in our house today? I don't know. I haven't been faced with it. Years ago, when I was my empty nester, so to speak, I used to take young men that I'd pick up hitchhiking and bring them home and find them a job, have them help me on the farm and so on and so forth. Here's a little thing interesting for you. How many in a new class, younger folks, know what a weed is? Anybody know it? I actually picked up a young man one time, brought him home, and I says, well, I'm at work. What I want you to do until you get a job is go weed in the garden. So I came home that night, and nothing looked was done. And I says, listen, you're under my roof, and I'm feeding you, and I'm going to help you get a job. Why didn't you work in the garden? He says, I didn't know what a weed was. Was he telling me the truth? I don't know. But he pulled weeds the next day, I guarantee you. He'd have been out in his ears. So anyhow, the Gideons are helping. One Gideon took in 22 people, and I believe they're still there today. Strangers. Feeding them, helping them. They hold a Bible study and a prayer meeting every day and once a week for visitors. Other Gideons come in, neighbors come in, and souls are being brought for Christ. How do you know when you help someone and are not afraid to share Jesus with them? How is that going to work? Are you the instrument? What does God do? He sends us out to share the gospel. We might be the first gospel they hear, so we'd work the soil. Or maybe we're the next one that comes along and puts some water on that soil, and the seed starts to sprout in them. But I'm sure Pastor can tell you that if God permits you to bring in the harvest, there's more joy. Tremendous amount of joy. And unless you're out sharing the gospel of Christ with someone else, you don't know which part you're participating in. It might be the harvest. During my time as a Gideon, I was in my early 30s and I started going to the boys' school in Red Wing. That's they just call it correctional facility. Used to be called reformatory. They got all named for it. And I'd share the gospel once a week. On Thursday nights I'd go and visit them. For the boys that wanted to come in. And it was right, sometimes one, sometimes a half a dozen. And you share the gospel, and you never know where it's going to end. Now, in church, you're going to hear a story about that. Because God puts us out to share his word, he doesn't tell us how he's going to deal with it. But this one young man, and I see you young fellas got for a nice haircuts. This guy, I got to tell you, this guy had his head shaved from here down. Then this grew out like a, I'll call it a flower or whatever, and draped over. Weird. To me, it was weird. I mean, why bother shaving this off as long as you're going to cover it up anyway? Well, I'll tell you what. I talked with this young fellow probably over a year. That's the one I shared with you earlier, Pastor. For maybe over a year, I shared the gospel. I'd come in and we'd sit down, and there'd be other boys. Sometimes, like I say, there'd be a half a dozen. We'd meet in a little room off to the side in one of the buildings. And he came in one day. And he says, come in, and he threw his testament on the table, and he says, I did it. The devil is out of my life. I want Jesus. So we prayed and talked and shared. And that was probably the very first time he really shared most of his life or what was going on in his life. Until you open up. Until you open up to Jesus, you got a lot of secrets. a lot of secrets. And I don't care who you are, how old you are, how young you are. Of course, I will sell something on the side here. I was a parent of four children, and there ain't nothing they did that I didn't know about. I maybe didn't say about it right away, but I knew it. So be careful what you do. Anyhow, he shared, and he actually was a truck driver for his family farm and all the stuff before he got locked up. And you know the funny part about this young man? Do you know how he got locked up? He did two things. And both of them, when I look at it as a person, I definitely do different. But society is not me. Society is... I don't want to offend anybody, but it ain't good. I got to watch my time, don't I?
No, you're fine.
Okay. You're fine. Anyway, boy, I can lose my train of thought really quick.
Sorry, I apologize.
No, it's not a problem. It'll come to me eventually.
Two things he did?
Beg your pardon?
The two things that he did?
Yeah.
The truck driver did two things that you wouldn't have
done?
Oh,
yeah, thank you. Thank you. When he was 6 years old, his cousin, their parents were visiting with his parents, and the cousin had a five-year-old daughter who was going potty in the bathroom. Now, this kid's 6 years old. Bathroom door's open. Of course, the mother of the daughter comes in, of the cousin comes in. This boy, blah, 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 blah. 6 years old. Who can even remember what they did in their 6 year old? Much less make it a bad thing. Kids are curious, man. But this parent went berserk. Evidently reported it. Now, I have a hard time believing that one. I really do. Second thing he did, about your ages, not you, you're too young yet, but you aren't, and you guys aren't either. They had a teacher they couldn't get along with real well. Little sidebar on that one. When I was going to Concordia, we had an English teacher, nice-looking young man, if you're... He was a single fellow, and he was turned around, writing on the board, and in this room, it was tiered steps at an angle. And one of us guys, and it wasn't me, thank the Lord, had a little metal ball, started rolling down the steps. And this teacher is writing so hard, the chalk is squeaking. So kids do dumb things. Didn't hurt anybody other than the teacher's pride, I'm very sure. And we all got to stay after school for a week. But yeah, it is funny. It's okay. It is funny. That's what I say. It isn't very serious. But the same thing with this young fellow. He and a few other guys got after this teacher. Oh, we'll fix it. So they took the desk, teacher desk, and put it up on the roof of the school. Now he's in a reformatory. Makes sense? Not to me. But this is our society today. So more than any other thing we need to do as adults, and you're not too old, young lady, and you guys are not too old either, or too young, to share the gospel of Christ so that people out there realize that certain things aren't so bad, they're just kind of happen. That they know Jesus, that they're forgiving.
It's all our jobs. One person said to me, he says, "Oh, I'm really glad the Gideons are out sharing the word." I says, "What are you doing?" It isn't the pastor's job. The pastor's job is to encourage you so that when you leave this door, you're out there sharing Jesus. Getting back to the Ukraine. Edna was a nurse. She was also a Gideon in the Ukraine, Gideon auxiliary. We have the Gideons who are males and the auxiliary who are the ladies. And she was a nurse, and she was in a spot where people would come as refugees, especially if they had a health problem. And she would help assist them. And once she would do that, she would share her testament, their white nurses' testaments. She'd share it with them while she was helping patch their arms up or whatever needed to be done. And a couple that she met was a young man, Missa, and his mother. And they were traveling. They were left out of a town that was occupied, so they had to leave. And, of course, they left with nothing, so they go to this place. He needed some medical assistance. She shared the testament with him. And he got a little bit curious. Now, I can't imagine, to be totally honest with you, this country or basically any other country in the world, other than a communist country where maybe the younger people didn't hear about Jesus. But I can't imagine there's anybody in this town that wouldn't know that this is the Bible. But Lissa, he didn't understand all that. And she's sharing it with him. He got very curious about who this Jesus was. And he got questions, and he asked a lot of questions. Well, they finally were processed through, and they're on their own. And she found out that just like people that, even illegal people that come into this country are given stuff to survive, some towns are overwhelmed with these folks. And that back then, they got some assistance. So they were able to rent a flat in the same building that she was in. And she says, "God is really orchestrating this one," she says to herself. You can see these things coming when you really get into Jesus and get into reading the Word every day. You can see these things coming in your own life. Well, they got in the same flat she was living in. She and her husband visited them. He was a Gideon, of course. And they were sharing the scripture, reading and sharing that. And finally they came. They came to the cross. They came to the cross. The very blood that Jesus shed is what washes my sin away. And yours. This is what it is. This is what it's all about. Doesn't make any difference who you are, how old you are, how young you are. I know a little boy, 9 years old. And this is really weird. Forgive me, but I think it's weird. His parents are not Christians. But he associates in his area with some Mexican families. And, you know, I don't know their faith. You know, we got all kinds of different names for. In fact, I don't know for sure what this church's background is. If it's Lutheran, Baptist, Assemblies, I have no idea. But these people are mostly Catholic. And he associates with these little boys running around playing, riding bikes. And he came to his parents and says, I want to be baptized. This is when he was 5 years old. I know him real well. I've talked to the Father. But if you let the devil get a hold of you, if you forget to confess that sin, we've opened the door, and the devil's waiting to come in. And what would it hurt? This young boy, still 9 years old, wanted to be baptized. What would it hurt? Why am I so reluctant as a father and a mother not to see that that is done? I know the father was baptized, and I know the mother was not. And she's talked about it. Talk is cheap. You can tell I'm here and I'm worth nothing. So be open. Open with the gospel, sharing Jesus with others. The more you share with Christ to other people, the less opportunity you have to let the devil get involved in your life. Peter said it pretty clear. If you deny the devil, he will flee from you. You don't like Christ any more than a man in the moon. But he wants you. He wants me. He'd love to get a scandal on your pastor. Oh, he'd go guts for that one. He's alive. And he's working in this world, and he will work till the end of time. When he's finally drawn back by God. I don't understand why all that happens. I really don't. But we have the opportunity to turn our life if it needs changing. We don't need to be a Gideon. We need to be a people. And we need to share Christ with others. I had two young grandchildren. Both boys. We can't get into school to give out testaments, okay? One of them was in Rochester, one of them was in Cannon Falls. Grandpa, could we have some testaments? Yeah, what are you going to do with them? I'm going to take them to school and give them to my friends. That ain't illegal. I got rid of a lot of testaments. These boys knew at the age of, I would have to guess, 10 or 11. I honestly don't know. You know, when you get so old, you forget a lot of stuff. You really do. So there you are. It doesn't make a difference how old you are. You can share the gospel. And be sure you do that. Be sure you do that. If you got an extra Bible at home or something like that, take it to school with you. Maybe during recess. Do they have recesses anymore? I don't know. We used to have a recess when I went to school. Does anybody know what a recess is? Okay, we got a yes on that one. So you can talk to people during your lunch break. You got a favorite passage you'd like to hear? I know in the Lutheran Church, it's all I'm going to vouch for. We have confirmation. And the kids that go to confirmation have to pick out Bible verses to represent their thoughts of Christ. Maybe you got your own that you like, or maybe a chapter you like to read, a psalm. Take it and share it with your friends. Don't be, you know it by heart. Take the Bible along. opening up there. So you can be a witness to others, sharing the scripture, just visibly, if not verbally. Make your life stand for Jesus. I see it's my time is up. I got a great story. If I ever come back again and I get time like this, about a young man, about 5 years old, wanting to know about Jesus, who was a Jew, and how his life went. It takes a while to go through that, every step of his life. But that's another day. Thank you for your time. I really did.
Clifford, I'll close with some prayer. You bow with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this testimony of faithfulness and for Clifford's impassioned plea for us to share the gospel and do the little things to push back against a godless culture. Lord, bless our time of fellowship now and the service to follow. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. If anybody has any questions, now is the time. I'll stay here a few minutes if you have a question. Anybody? Oh, I got some questions for you.
I love it.
Think of the naughtiest. Kick me out of here if you have to. That's okay. Leave if you want to. That's okay, too. What's the naughtiest thing you ever did? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Tell Jesus, don't you? He loves to know that stuff. Let me ask another question. Have you ever done something you thought was so bad it might even interrupted your sleep at night? I don't know. That it got so bad that you couldn't even pray at night anymore. You were so ashamed. You don't have to answer the questions. These are rhetorical questions. But remember, Jesus